am I allowed to put my papers here? Can I move this just a drop? I don't want to screw anything up. I'm an act named Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm from Rock Creek area, and I'm really, really happy to be here today. And Jade, that was awesome. Thanks a lot. I just want to start off by the top saying I think you're going to find our speaking styles a little bit different. I'm known in my area as like the reserved person. I don't do that on purpose, but I can't help it. But let me start by saying that I just love Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I am so grateful for this program and for my recovery and for everything that this program has made possible for my life. I've gotten a new life in Narcotics Anonymous, and I am just grateful for it. This is also my first time leading a convention workshop, so I am a little bit nervous. I was commiserating with Jade beforehand. I think everybody's a little bit nervous, so I hope you'll let me work through that. But I've been in service at this convention pretty much continuously for the last 4 years in one way or another. So I'm like all about the convention, but leading a workshop, you know, is obviously something different, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity, you know, to do this particular kind of service, which, by the way, is one way that I can contribute to NA unity in our first tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Our personal recovery depends on NA unity. That's our first tradition. Before I talk about the first tradition, though, I did want to tell you a little bit of my story. I'm just going to kind of give you the Reader's Digest version so you know a little bit about me and why I belong here. Like a lot of us, you know, I started using when I was really young, and I immediately loved it. It was immediately the most important thing to me, and it almost immediately became the organizing principle of my life for what would be years and years and decades. I loved using. I only wanted to use anything I could, anytime I could, as much as I could, in any combination that I could. I was in active addiction all of my life, you know, cycling through, you know, periods of some unmanageability and periods of some high functioning. And I never really suffered a lot of serious consequences, which I think is kind of unfortunate. I think that's why it was so long before I finally did get into recovery, because I was more or less high functioning most of the time. But, you know, my most recent period of active addiction, the thing that brought me to my knees, you know, really had nothing but serious consequences. You know, they say in the first step, sometimes our unmanageability is the only thing that is apparent to us. And I'll tell you, in my last period of active addiction, you know, my unmanageability was so painfully apparent. My serious consequences were so painfully apparent. And these things just escalated exponentially. It was just crazy what I was doing to myself, absolutely destroying my life and my health. And I just continued using right through it. And so when I finally got into, when I finally stopped using, I was just really completely undone. I mean, I just absolutely shattered my life. The best word I can use to describe myself when I stopped using was helpless. I was just utterly fucking helpless. And even at that, I wasn't looking for recovery. It was still several months after that before I got into a treatment program, and I only did that, you know, as a way to keep a roof over my head when I became homeless. But I am so grateful, you know, for what happened to me in that treatment program. It just was transformative. It just transformed my life. I had these remarkable, you know, what I call organic first and second and third step experiences there. Hey, Lance, yeah. that were really remarkable. You know, I still remember going to my first NA meeting at Providence Hospital in Northeast Washington. And like I said, I wasn't, you know, looking for recovery. I wasn't very interested. But for whatever reason, I was ripe to get the message that night. And I got a message that was like getting kicked in the head with a message. It was for the first time in my life I understood, I mean, like I really understood on some deep level, you know, the exact nature of my addiction and my powerlessness and my unmanageability, you know, for what had been decades. And so that was really overwhelming, and it was painful, but I've always been grateful that I had that experience, because that's what allowed me to really fully surrender to this program and get into recovery. And I still remember not long after that having a really powerful third step experience, and it was a few weeks later. And I just kind of became aware that, you know, I kind of felt okay, like for the first time since I'd stopped using meth 6 months ago. And I consciously thought, well, I guess I'm recovering. I guess this is like recovery because I feel a little bit better. And, you know, I didn't feel like I was working my third step by any means, but I made a decision right then to be in recovery because I realized for the first time since I had stopped using 6 months ago that I could see a path for how I could stay alive and what I could do, that I could be in recovery, and that's the way that I could put my life back together. And, you know, as soon as I made that decision, I was just gifted with all this willingness, like the gift of desperation gave me all this willingness to do all the things that we're supposed to do in recovery. And that's the thing I'm most grateful for. And for me, that has mostly meant practicing the spiritual principles of the program. And, you know, and by that I mean like really the basic, simple spiritual principles of the program. And I mean, right from the beginning, I tried to go through my daily life, like actively, consciously trying to practice things like honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, acceptance, surrender, humility, trying not to be willful, trying not to be a dick. And I really believed, I had the faith that we get in the second step, I really believed that if I did those things and if I just kept doing the next right thing and practicing these principles, that things would get better for me. And boy, they have. Things have got so much better for me. You know, they've got better in every way, and they've got better really unbelievable. I mean, I haven't really even described how bad off I was. But, you know, the term wildest dreams, beyond my wildest dreams, applies to me. I've really been restored beyond anything that I could have fantasized. Like, I couldn't have, like, imagined the path of being restored this much, much less I couldn't even have fantasized being restored as much as I have in recovery. You know, and I just am so grateful, you know, for Narcotics Anonymous and for my program and for giving me my life back. You know, it's just like the slogan says, I have found a new way of life. I have literally found a new way of life and a whole new life in Narcotics Anonymous. And so I'm terribly grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the NA Unity that's made my personal recovery possible. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA Unity. That's the first tradition. We're going to see how this tradition actually works in both directions. Personal recovery depends on NA Unity, and NA Unity depends on personal recovery. It's only when all of us are participating in our recovery that we are all contributing to NA and to our common good. And it's funny how our understanding of traditions really does come slowly over a period of time, like it says in that reading. You know, like if you start with the newcomer who just needs a fucking meeting and doesn't have a clue about, you know, traditions or principles or, you know, what goes on in NA. And then you look at an addict with 90 days, you know, who's been coming around for a while and he really understands, you know, the power of the fellowship, really can appreciate what the unity of NA is doing for him, even though he doesn't really, or her, even though they don't really understand it, they can feel it. And then all the way up to, you know, somebody with a year or 18 months clean who's gotten involved in some service work and really do understand that there are principles and traditions and structures, you know, that are important to all of us, that really matter to all of us. You know, and then one day we go a step further and we understand that we are all responsible for that. We're all responsible for our common welfare. We can't get our own recovery unless the greater NA is there. That's unity. And NA can't continue to be there unless we all participate. That's the common welfare. And our unity begins with the ties that bind us together, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. We help each other through networks and through sponsorship, through fellowshipping and going to meetings and supporting our home groups. And, you know, our membership is really diverse and, you know, there's a whole lot of individual ways of practicing our programs and pursuing our recovery, but our individual differences don't detract from the primary purpose, our primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So we all serve together for our common welfare, and collectively that becomes a source of NA unity. And even though we may take it for granted sometimes, most of the times we probably take it for granted, you know, that unity doesn't just happen. It requires personal responsibility and responsible action, commitment from all of us. It also requires responsible action from groups. You know, groups also have to place our common welfare first. You know, individual members show their commitment by showing up at their home groups, and home groups really exist primarily, most importantly, you know, for the newcomer who needs to find a meeting. And that's the first tradition. That's Unity, NA Unity 101 right there. And the group understands that it's not operating in a vacuum. And it's part of a global fellowship. There's a line in the tradition that says each group is a strand in the fabric of NA. You know, and sometimes groups, of course, are focused on local issues or their own problems. But they also have to look beyond themselves to the welfare of the bigger whole. Because without groups, there would be no NA, and there would not be any meeting for anyone to find. I'll tell you, I've had my own really terrific experience of joining a new home group in this past year. It was a long process and a hard decision for me, you know, to leave my original home group of many, many years. But I really realized, I wasn't thinking of it in these terms at the time, but I really realized that that group, you know, was not contributing to NA Unity, and the members were not committed to the fellowship. It was a funny situation. It's actually a very strong group. There's a lot of good recovery there. I care a lot about a lot of people there. But for most of the people who go to that meeting, it's the only NA meeting that they go to. You know, and I just realized, you know, over time, you know, that I would be the only one who was interested in area service or regional business or this convention or worried about our traditions. You know, and for a while that was kind of cool because everybody would be, oh, Steve, you know, explain that to us, or, you know, Steve, you know, what do you think we should do? Or, but at some point I realized that, you know, that's not okay for my recovery. Like, you know, I need to be a part of a stronger group, a group of addicts who are interested in our common welfare and committed to NA. So I finally made the move, and I have to say I moved to an incredibly strong home group. I'm so glad I did. Clean on the Hill, Rock Creek. and just to give you an idea of how, you know, home groups can operate, like our home group took the, you know, the recent Car Cat deliberations very, very seriously. Some of you may not know what the Car Cat is. Don't worry about it. You'll know the next time it comes around. But we took that process very, very seriously. You know, and just for starters, like 8 to 10 of our home group members came out to 2 special business meetings for both a couple of hours long. It's a lot of commitment. And we had a lot of different viewpoints and different opinions, believe me, just like you find in any kind of group conscious or service body. But it was really, really clear how everybody was there, was committed to the process, committed to our common welfare, and they were all trying to take responsible action towards NA Unity. It was really something to participate in that. And service committees is another area, you know, where we see unity in action. You know, if you think about like area service or regional service or this convention or H&I or special events, it's pretty easy to see how those committees and their activities support our common welfare, which creates NA unity, and which in turn supports our personal recovery. And that, again, is the first tradition working in both directions. I'll tell you, my own experience in service to this convention has been also really a remarkable experience for me, also transformative. You know, I originally accepted a position on the board of directors for the convention because it's a big operation. And I originally accepted a position there mostly because I was afraid of it. And I realized that, you know, the right thing for me to do was to face up to those fears and, you know, take the challenge. But, you know, I went to a meeting because I had been invited, and I looked around that table, and I didn't see anybody there who looked like the addicts that were in my recovery, in my area. And I didn't think there was any reason to think that any of those people wanted me to sit at that table and join them. But I did. You know, I got elected to the board, and I started going, and, of course, just the opposite was true. They were very, very supportive and welcoming. And that position has literally transformed my relationship over time with the fellowship. You know, I met all these people who I never would have met from all sorts of different areas in the region. Most of them with a lot of clean time. All of them totally committed to fellowship and really inspired about serving for this convention. And that, being part of that process, inspired me to change up my own recovery to, you know, what we call pure NA recovery. So that was a really important transformation for me. And believe me when I tell you, there is a whole lot of dysfunction and drama that goes on behind the scenes at this convention. Yeah. Not always behind the scenes. But, you know, just imagine, you know, all the people from all different areas, you know, trying to put on all the issues that could come up running something like this. There's a lot that comes up, and it's kind of crazy sometimes. You know, but when you see the result, when you realize, you know, all the members of the board, all the members of the host committee, all the subcommittees, and the hundreds of volunteers that have worked all year, more than a year, and they're working all this weekend so that 7,000 of us can come and celebrate recovery, that is the first tradition at work. Some of the spiritual principles that are especially important to unity are surrender, commitment, and anonymity. You know, the tradition says that by surrendering our own desires and contributing to the common good, we support the unity that is essential to our personal survival. And there again, I've seen that in my own experience, you know, with group consciences and service committees, where a lot of the times, most of the time, it's very easy for me to know that I am absolutely right, that I know exactly what we should do. If you would just listen to me or just take my word for it. I think we've all felt that way. But I have learned, I have genuinely learned with experience and practice that I'm not always right and that I really have to surrender my beliefs and my will to the group. And commitment is also an important, essential to unity. You know, and we show our commitment through regular meeting attendance and service work, sponsorship, and helping the newcomer. And our own personal sense of belonging to NA is really enhanced when we are more committed to NA. And here again, as I was just describing, that's something that I can really, really relate to and I've experienced in my own recovery. You know, I was a multi-fellowship person. You know, in early recovery, I participated in not two, but three different fellowships, and actually NA was the least of them. And so it's been a long process and evolution for me, but I am now 100% pure NA. I have been for a while, and I feel really, really good about that. And thank you. Thank you, NA. But the, you know, the result of that is that by me being more committed to this fellowship, I feel much more a part of this fellowship, and I get a lot more back from it. Anonymity. Now, that's the big one. Anonymity is one of the principles that is really, really important to NA unity. And I think anonymity is one of the principles that is most often misunderstood or maybe just not fully understood. You know, people think that anonymity means that you're not supposed to know my last name is Hughes, or you're not supposed to say my last name is Hughes. I'm Steve H. because I'm anonymous. And that is part of it. You know, that's important. But that's just a small part of it. You know, anonymity really applies to the whole program. The program of Narcotics Anonymous is supposed to be anonymous. Collectively, our fellowship is anonymous. So, in the context of NA unity, anonymity means that you're not supposed to care that I'm white or that I'm old or that I'm gay or that I'm any of the other things that I am. Anonymity means that we overlook the differences that could separate us and we focus on our common identity as addicts. And by doing that, we create NA unity, which means that our message of recovery is available to any addict seeking recovery. And that is a beautiful and powerful thing. The tradition has a really nice passage in it that I'm just going to read. It says, just as anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, the unity in the first tradition is the practical foundation on which we build strong groups. And it's the group that makes the meeting available to the newcomer seeking recovery. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Each one of us has an equal right to be members in this fellowship, and every one of us has an equal responsibility for the well-being of this fellowship. I'm an act named Steve. Thank you for letting me share.